still in the Christmas season. One of my pet peeves, and you've heard me speak of it before, is that as Westerners, as Americans, we start Christmas way too early, and we end it far too soon. And we know that the 12 days of Christmas follow Christmas, so that's why the trees are still up, and we're still walking in the blessed truth of knowing that God incarnated himself out of love for us. So we're grateful that you're here. It's also the final day of this calendar year. And I have to confess, it feels like Christmas was a year away. Has this been a long week for some of you? Or maybe we're just discombobulated because of the time. But we are going to say goodbye to 2023. And someone sent me something, and I concur. He said he was going to stay up till midnight tonight, not so much to see the new year come in, but to make sure this one goes out. So, but the Lord is with it. Just a couple of announcements, and then we'll give some prayer requests. I was mistaken when I did the bulletin. The men's group is meeting this Wednesday. But the women's group will not meet until the 10th of January. So they will not be meeting until the 10th of January. Also, next week we will be taking up our collection for the Society of St. Andrew as we celebrate Epiphany, and we'll have a litany dedicating those gifts as well for that ministry, for those who collected during the Advent and Christmas season. Also, this Wednesday we're starting our new Bible study, and I was torn between, do I want to teach a sort of an introductory course on how to study the Bible, or do I want to look at a particular book? And I thought, well, why don't we look at a particular book and use it as a test study for how to properly study the Bible? So we will begin going through I think it would be a fun study of the book of Galatians. So we'll start this coming Wednesday or Thursday night. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. If you look around there, I've received last evening and today six different families from our congregation that reached out that they have some form of a crud and wouldn't be here. So it's just a lot of it going around. So just keep those in prayer that we know of. Also, I want to lift up the family of Dr. Powell. He's an optometrist in town, works with Jen. Several of you are his patients, and I've heard from some of you that he prays with his patients, and I know he's led Bible study. He just lost his mother. So let's keep Dr. Powell in our prayers. Any other items of prayer? Praise, joy? Yes, ma'am. We are glad to see Glenn and Ruth here, and we've been keeping the Harveys in our prayers as well. Mark.
Wayne Williams' sister, Lorraine Williams Hall, lost her husband the day after Christmas.
Oh. And her name is?
Well, it was Lorraine, but people called her that, and also Linda, and her married name is Hall.
Wayne's sister Linda lost her husband the day after Christmas. So let's keep that whole family in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, Mom?
We've got Laura Drinkin on our prayer list, but also her mother, Peggy, is in long-term care at Virginia Baptist. She's getting over heart problems and blood pressure problems.
So let's keep Peggy and Laura Drinker in prayer. When your hand went up, I thought you were going to give praise that your perfect child was in town. And she's clapping for that. There's no disputing. Like Tommy's mother, mine liked her best. And I don't blame her. I like her better, too. Good to have Karen with us, too. Any other prayer requests, praises? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we just thank you with every ounce of energy that we have for walking with us. If we're honest, what we ought to say, what I ought to say, is we're thankful. Not so much that you walk with us, but you carry us. We are upheld, not in any way by our own strength, by our own wisdom, by our own volition or will, but we are upheld and held tightly yet gently by the loving hands of the eternal God. That is our comfort, that is our strength, and that's our hope. We do like points of demarcation where we say goodbye, for we know every time we say goodbye, we also say hello. But we say hello to that which we don't know what it will be. But we do know in whom it will be, so therefore we can live in trust and in peace. We thank you that you are the God who not only hears us when we cry, but you hold those tears in a bottle, and we look forward to a day where every tear will be wiped away. And we thank you. Along the way, we thank you for your presence, and we ask that these that we've mentioned be with Laura and Peggy Drinkard. We pray that you continue to be with the Harveys. We pray that you be with those in our congregation that are struggling with just nuisance health issues and with those that are struggling with serious health issues. We know that in your economy, there's no degree of miracles. You care for both the small and what we would consider the severe. I pray that you be with those that have lost individuals. It's always tough to say goodbye to the physical presence, especially around times of celebration. So I pray that you be with the Paul family. I pray that you be with the Hall family and be with others that we're not aware of. We pray that you would be with those that may be traveling, especially any that would be traveling this evening. May they have safety. And we thank you above all things that you invite us into your presence. And we understand we only come into your presence the way we pray this prayer. And that's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us now away from your presence, and take out your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your prosperity.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to us. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 111 to call each to worship, and we'll stand and sing hymn 199. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of mystery and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He is generous to the people with the power of his works, in giving them their lands and nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
His hand lasts forever and ever, because they have done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us act accordingly and have evidence of sin. His praise endures forever.
Salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as the bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall bear a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Thus the first reading.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading comes from Galatians 4:4-7. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Thank you. Gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there is a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we come to an end, the end of 2023. And if you get emailings or Facebook posts or Instagram, I've got to admit the turn of the calendar year is starting to sound like a broken record. It's starting to say that we hear the same thing every December 31st. That this year has been extremely tough, but next year is going to be better. I think they said that in 2022 and in 2021 and in 20. And if we're honest, and I know your stories, I try to walk along with my congregants. I know for many of you, this has been an extremely tough year. And I'd like to tell you that I am confident that if you have enough faith, that 2024 is going to be a whole lot better. And you would smile, and I would smile knowing that that may be our hope. But it's not a guarantee. If we're honest, sometimes the changing of the calendar year feels more like we're just stepping on into another hamster wheel. And we'll just continue to run again, and we'll be back again next year, and that will be it. The wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, he understood somewhat of that feeling. He wrote in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verse 9. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. In other words, same old, same old. And it seems that life works that way. And you're thinking, well, this sure is a motivational sermon, not a lot. But there is good news. And the good news is Emmanuel. There is good news. And it's not in changing the storm. It's not in things working out better. I want to go to Philippians. If you have your scripture or pull it up on your iPhone or just listen. But the book of Philippians is a short little letter that Paul wrote. And it is, most people know, it is an epistle of joy. Joy is a predominant theory or theme through it. He uses joy over and over and over. And the truth of the matter is, he's in prison. The truth of the matter is, he's literally in prison. He's not going anywhere. His life's not going to get any better. When you're in prison, time stops. Life seems to be put on hold. And we also know that the worst imprisonments can be not those physical prisons, but those metaphorical prisons that we all feel caught in. But in the midst of that, we see Paul found joy. So let's see how he did. In verse 3 of chapter 1, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you, that's a plural you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. The key of being in prison and having joy. The key of entering another year, terribly frightful that it might be just like the one we're leaving. The key to walking as Christ Jesus intends us to walk is exactly what Paul says in this short little paragraph. It's using our remembering right. I love that word. You see it on this altar. You hear it throughout Scripture, old and new. It's God's way of keeping us sane. Remember. Remember. We forget easily, don't we? I mean, the older we get, the more we forget. But the truth of the matter is, most of us and the problems we have is because we don't forget. That's more of a problem I find with individuals, more a problem with me. Isn't so much the things that I forget, it's the things that somehow I remember and should. So we need to use our memory in a way that honors God and strengthens us. And Paul does that. The first thing he remembers is he is remembered. Prison feels very lonely. I've never been there, but from talking to those that have been, from watching it in movies, I sense the loneliness. You feel as if the world has left you behind. But Paul didn't feel that way because he remembered that he was remembered. It's a wonderful scripture in the gospel according to Isaiah in the Old Testament, where he asks a rhetorical question. He says, can a nursing mother forget the child at her breast? And of course, the obvious answer to that rhetorical question is absolutely not. A mom can't forget the child that's right there nursing. But it goes on to say, but even if she does forget her child, Yahweh, God, will never forget you. He has etched you in the palm of his hand. Paul remembered that he was remembered. These are the same things that had to go through all of the Old Testament saints. Noah needed to know that he was remembered, even though he was in an ark in the midst of a storm. Joseph needed to know that he was remembered, even though he was betrayed and in a prison. Israel needed to know that they were remembered, even when they were in the midst of captivity. Jonah needed to remember that he was remembered, even in the midst of a storm. And you need to remember that you are remembered in the midst of what you're going through. But he also remembers that we're in a perfect fellowship with others. That beautiful verse, verse 6, I'm confident of this, that God, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to fruition. And as we are wont to do as Americans, we personalize everything, and we just think that's talking about me. God started to work in me, and be patient with me. God's not finished with me. And it's not about individual sanctification. The word used here is a plural you. He's talking about, he remembered that it's not just me alone. I'm not walking this life alone, even if it feels like I have brothers and sisters in Christ, even in the midst of prison. But then the final thing I want to say is, you not only need to remember that you are remembered, and remember that you are a member of the body of Christ, you need to remember that you are moving to an end. You are moving to an end. We read, or Dave read in Galatians 4, that at the fullness of time, at the right time, at the end, Jesus Christ came, incarnate of the Father, at the fullness of time. God has never, if I'm honest, God has never quick enough for me. Do any of you ever have that same thought and be willing to admit it? I mean, God's always too slow for me. And maybe the whole point of God's slowness is to remind us of who is in control and who is wise. There was a story told of a man who, a pilot, was wanting to land, and he got irritated with the air traffic controllers because they put him in a holding pattern over the airport for about 45 minutes. And he got impatient. And he started to second guess it. And he was a Christian, and he said it reminded him of that was his relationship with God. That often we're put in a holding pattern, and we don't know why. It looks fine to us. It looks like we could land safely. But we have to trust, on a very practical level, that the air traffic controller can see things that we don't. And we have to trust that the God that we are moving toward, the end, sees what we can't. We talk about the end, and Christ is the end of the law, the telos. He is the end that we're moving toward. He is the consummation. That two wonderful characters, two of my favorite Christmas characters, they may be new to you. Jen read about them today. One is Simeon, and he's waiting for the end. He's waiting for the consummation. And as we read in the passage, and it's such a beautiful attestation of faith, look in verse 29 of Luke 2 in your insert. For Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That's what we're waiting for. If I'm waiting for any other end, I'm going to be disappointed. If I'm waiting for world peace, it's going to be a miserable 2024. If I'm waiting for the Democrats and the Republicans to start working together this coming year, I'm not going to have a good year. If I'm waiting for anything other than Emmanuel, I'm looking and waiting for the wrong end. And I won't have peace in the waiting. And Anna, that other wonderful waiter, she was almost 90 years old. And she had been waiting devoutly. And I guarantee you, whatever storm or situation you're in, you haven't waited 84 years. It might feel like 84 years, but it's not. Well, you've got a treat today. You know that I'm not big into tricks and screens and anything other than just the old-fashioned preaching of the word. But you know, I have props for today. I've got props for those of you, not many, but some would say, well, how come we don't ever have props? Well, we have props. Now, I'll do it at the end of the year, so it'll give me another year to think up something creative, because I'm not very creative. But I thought, since the rest of the sermon may be a little difficult, because we're thinking of the circumstances and situations in life that we have no guarantee of getting it better, it might be okay to bring in some levity and in a helpful way. Here's my first prop. A bottle of Pepsi and a bottle of water. Exactly the same bottles. Exactly the same amount of content. Exactly the same amount of shaking. But the outcome would be different, right? Does it matter if I shook this one more and didn't shake this one as much? Is the outcome determined, or the explosion determined, by the amount of shaking? No. It's determined by what's on the inside. And I can't tell you how much shaking your life is going to take in 2024. But if you have, as redeemed children, that hope that Paul talks about, Christ in you, there won't be the explosion. Because the explosion is not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. What did Paul say? We're just earthen vessels. But guess what we have host within us? A treasure. The Word of God. Emmanuel. Not just with us, but in us. And that's the hope of glory. My next one is a gyroscope. You know what a gyroscope is? A gyroscope is a device where the outer circles can turn in any direction they please, but the inner ballast remains stable. The moving of the circles does not alter the orientation of the axis. We are centered. And in the same way, as we approach this coming year, I don't know how it's going to circle around you. You may feel as if it's flying around you. You may feel as if you're stuck and it's not turning at all. But the orientation of our soul, because it's not based on these externals, won't affect our stability. For our stability is in Christ. He said, I give you peace, but not as the world gives you. I give you a peace that you won't be able to understand because you're in the midst of a storm. And that leads to my third prop, and really the only one you need. The gospel. I want you to listen. You can turn to Mark 4 if you want. We're going to cover this in a few weeks. But my third example is Jesus in the boat. In John 4, beginning on verse 35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, i.e. Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's a very beautiful passage. And I have a question for you. If they had not awakened Jesus, the winds were blowing, the rains and the waves were filling the boat. And the Greek is very clear, this boat was about to sink. It swamped. If they had not awakened Jesus, would they have sunk? Did they know that Jesus could calm the waters? They had never seen him do that prior. Their anger, their frustration was that he wasn't worried like they are. And don't you hate it when people don't understand the severity of what's driving you crazy and making you upset? How dare they be peaceful when you're losing your mind? How dare he sleep? Don't you care? He didn't say, can't you fix it? He said, don't you care? I'm going to suggest to you that the boat would not have sunk. And that's why Jesus could take a nap. You know why Jesus could fall asleep? Is he trusted his word. What did we read at the beginning of this story? On that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. They were going across to the other side. Not because the storms were peaceful or raging. They were going across to the other side because Jesus' word cannot be broken. And because Jesus trusts his word, they can take a nap. I don't know how bad your storms are going to be this coming year. But if you trust Jesus and his word to never leave nor forsake you, it'll still be tumultuous, but you can take a nap. I have a great privilege that sometimes when I'm doing sermon work, a song will come to mind, and I'll call up my old buddy John and say, John, would you sing such and such? Well, the sermon I preached this morning was not what I intended to preach Monday when I started doing the sermon preparation. I totally changed. I just totally changed. So I reworked it yesterday. And I wouldn't call John the day before. So you'll get me reading it. But it was from a Christian group when I first started taking my faith seriously. The Holy Spirit working in me, and I still find myself repeating this song often. Probably because I need it, and maybe because you need it. It's by a group called the Imperials. And here's the words. and claim this as you say goodbye to one and enter anew. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. There's some promises in the letter written a long, long time ago. They're not getting old. They're getting better because he still wants us to know that he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us stand. Never use the word defeat. Claim his promises, every one of them, and every spoken word he'll hear, because we're everything to him. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. And he didn't lift us up to let us down. That's the gospel for this coming year. Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts to give you thanks and praise, Lord God, because you made your whole creation a temple of your glory and invited us into it to enjoy you forever. When you called Israel out of Egypt, you made yourself known. Through your covenant in a tabernacle of your presence, in Solomon, you allowed your people to meet you in a temple built by human hands. Finally, in Simeon, you showed us what it means to wait faithfully to see your salvation in your incarnate Son, in whom your own heart was pierced, that we might be made one with you. In your Son's death, the temple of his body was destroyed, but in 3 days you raised him to be the place of our dwelling with you forever. And so with angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven, we join in the eternal song of your glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. God of peace and light, you have prepared a table before us in the presence of all peoples, and you have made it a gift of revelation and glory and salvation. Your servant Anna waited for you with fasting and prayer night and day. Visit your people that the secrets of our hearts may be laid bare and the secret of your heart be revealed. And make your people holy as you are holy. Send your Holy Spirit on this bread and wine that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he again gave you thanks, and he took the cup and gave it to his disciples and said, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Consoling God, as Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice in your temple, bring comfort to all who feel today like they are being sacrificed by the cruel, the merciless, or the fanatical. As Simeon foresaw that your son would be a sign that would be opposed, bless any who face hostility, anger, and violence. As the whole family, Holy Family, realize that a sword would pierce their own soul, speak tenderly to those whose soul knows despair, loss, or betrayal. Make your church strong, fill your children with wisdom, and set your favor upon all who turn to you. Until that day when heaven and earth become a temple of your praise and your resurrection engulfs all you have made. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Emmanuel, born as a child, sacrificed as the Holy Lamb of God, given to us, sealing us by His Spirit, guaranteeing that while we are in His hands are in the Father's hands, and we are absolutely secure in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we can sing, it is well with my soul. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to receive this precious gift of Emmanuel, the very body and blood of Christ. After you partake by intention, have prayer with Sister Katie if you'd like, or just stand by this altar and have prayer, asking God to forgive and release and let go this past year and claim His promise of Emmanuel for the coming. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
freely given, freely received, never to be taken away. Your glorious grace and salvation in Christ Jesus. May it be our strength, our joy, our hope, and our focus. Not just in the coming year, but for all eternity. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship and sing in our final hymn. Temptations and the pull of our stubborn self-will, help us not to lose our way. And in the midst of our daily preoccupations and pursuits, open our eyes to the sorrow of others and to respond with compassion and sacrifice to those who are friendless and in need. May our constant prayer be with the psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, that I'll keep them to the end." And so, our Father, we thank you for the promise and hope of this new year, and we look forward to it with the expectation. We're asking in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who by the death and resurrection of Christ has given us both hope for this world and the world to come in the next. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless. Go in peace. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen.